road again, going places that I've never been, seeing things that I may never see again. I can't wait to get on the road again.
Welcome to The Drive. Glad that you have tuned in for another episode, and today we're going to dive into the world of the flipped classroom. It's a fun place to live. That's where I spent the last few years of my high school career, and I'm very passionate about the opportunities that the flipped classroom presents. I know that when you hear flipped classroom, a lot of things kind of can run through your mind and different reasons why to not try something like this can make themselves very prevalent in your thinking, but the goal here is to provide another avenue for students to learn, and one that actually helps them internalize or take ownership. I think take ownership of their learning is the best way to summarize this one. And so what the flipped classroom is a situation where your students get their learning outside of the classroom. They get the introduction to content outside of your classroom. So there's a YouTube video or a website they need to explore or something along those lines, where they get that lower level of Bloom's taxonomy. They get that introduction to material, just like you would introduce them to material in your classroom through lecture. And then when they come back to classroom the next day, they actually start applying some of those things that they saw. They're not experts yet. They're not professional topic analyzers at this point. But what you're trying to do is create a situation where they start asking some of those deeper meaning questions and start to probe how this topic works, what makes it go, why it's important, how can you solve these kinds of problems or these kinds of problems. And it then frees your classroom up so that you can work with your students right where they're at. It doesn't matter where they're at, you can help them. And I love the way the flipped classroom works. Now, one of the things that people will say with flipped classroom is, well, not every student of mine has technology. And if you've listened to this podcast, I've talked about equity, and the equity is important. But it's also important that we meet the needs of these kids as they're learning. And so my question then is, you know, if you can't do a flipped classroom because not everybody has the ability to get on the internet outside of school or something like that, my question would be for the higher grades, for the, you know, the middle school and high school grades, you know, when those kids are assigned a paper they have to type, where does that occur? If they're assigned a research to do outside of class, where does that occur? If they're assigned to do something, you know, just a little bit technologically, you know, intense outside of school, where does that occur? And in some situations, that's a very, very, very difficult thing because there's just no access. And each situation is unique, and I don't have an answer for every single situation that could pop up, but I saw just recently, I think it's on 60 Minutes or something like that, where there's a school district that allows their computer lab to stay open until, I think, 8 o'clock at night, 3 days a week or something like that. So maybe it's a situation like that where it's a cultural shift inside your building. I'd heard of another school district where they just reorganized buses twice a week, and kids had the opportunity to stay at school, excuse me, a couple times a week later than normal. Like, I think buses ran at 5 instead of 3 or something like that. So those are just a couple of options. Other options are, you know, depending on where you live, if you have a good community library, or if students do have a computer at home but maybe not internet, you could create a flash drive of the videos. You could create the videos and create a flash drive for them. Kids may not have a computer, but they might have a DVD player. And I know with technology that teachers have access to, it's not so difficult to create a DVD of lessons. And especially, again, going back into, you know, more into secondary, which is where I lived, I know that, for example, our football coach had access to some equipment that would burn like 10 or 15 DVDs at one time. So utilize those resources. If you're in the elementary school, it's a little bit different because the elementary teachers, you teach so many different things through the whole course of the day. And there's this whole emphasis right now, there's this big kind of split between do kids have homework or not, and how that plays out in your particular situation, I'm not sure. But maybe, for example, I taught high school calculus. This is a real life personal example in my household. I taught high school calculus. Love calculus. Math is not a problem for me. I get it. But my second grade daughter brought home a sheet the other day and needed help on it. And there was like some sticks and some circles. And she had to explain something with these sticks and circles. I had absolutely no idea how to solve this problem. Zero. None. And so for me, a flipped classroom in that elementary school might be the teacher working a couple of examples, less than 5 minutes, of a problem like that, so that not only, one, can my daughter get reinforcement with it at home, but I can help her through that process at home. And I just think that something like that is just beneficial for all involved, and the opportunity is there for me to use it as a parent. It's also there for my daughter to use to grow as well. So that's an example from there. So, you know, flipping everything that you do in elementary school might not be possible, but you could flip things like phonetics, how to correctly say the different words that you're working on with your students, or you could flip a really fun little cute story and have the kids kind of talk about it with their parents, or you could flip some vocabulary words and make like a fun video on how to define vocabulary. There's some different things that you can do in the elementary school, which would be different than what you would do at high school, but still provide an opportunity to flip a lesson. In high school, in English, for example, you could do a literature walk where you use Google Earth and walk your students through the time and the period and the location of some of the different authors that you read. Or you could provide, an example of the kind of thinking, you know, that you want your students to have as they approach a specific research topic. So some guiding questions, and you would pick the topic, you know, you would take maybe one topic that is going to be off limits for them, and you would kind of show them, hey, this is how we're going to go about asking some key questions on this topic. This is how you need to organize your information. This is how you can correctly format a bibliography or whatever. And then the students have that information available the entire time they're working on their research project, and not like the 1 or 2 days they're in the library or the 1 or 2 days that you lecture about it in class, but now they've got this information the whole time. If you're in history class, you know, so much history can be made, created, and made to be just so, so vibrant, especially with all of the things that we have available to us in this day and age. So maybe if you flip a history lesson, you can go a little bit more in depth with some cool key aspect of a particular piece of history that you're studying, where you do a little 15-minute lecture on some of those things. Or maybe you present some guiding questions, like think about these questions. I'm going to talk for 15 minutes. You think about these questions. We're going to talk about them tomorrow in class. And maybe your classroom discussion becomes more vibrant. You know, also with that flipped lesson, there's so many resources out there that maybe inside that lesson you can tie in some of those resources, and they're right there for your students to click on. For example, if you're talking Civil War, maybe one of the things that you can have them do is click into some of those Civil War battle site websites, which are so great to look at. If you teach an international language, Spanish or German or French, maybe you are working with them on conjugating verbs. And that was the most difficult thing for me as a student of a foreign language, was conjugation. I could finally get that vocabulary down, but conjugation just seemed to sink me every time. But if I'd had a video where I could go to and see some of these verbs done again and again and again, it might have helped me. It might have provided a little bit more of a boost, because then I could go back and review those things as I get closer to test time. So science, you could pre-do your lab. You know, you can give your kids a video on how your lab is going to set up, and then allow them to go after it. There's just all kinds of ways. Think outside the box too. You know, if you're having trouble for your specific class, thinking about how you would incorporate a flipped classroom. Think about things that you tell your kids 2 million times during the course of the day. Important things. Not sit down, sharpen your pencil. You know, get in here and don't be tardy, or, you know, stop goofing off. Not those kinds of things, but like lesson-based things. What are you telling your kids all day long? And then take that and make it a really quick video lesson. So the flipped classroom is a really good way to broaden the foundation for students, because then they can take that information on their own time and study it. And if there's something that's tricky, they can rewind it. If there's something that's really confusing that they need to kind of sit and think about, they can do it. And it just gives them that opportunity. Some of the drawbacks, though, with the flipped classroom is you have to communicate what the expectation is to everybody, which can be difficult. And parents sometimes arch an eyebrow until you actually explain to them the whole process. The flipped classroom is not the computer teaching the kid. It truly isn't. It's the student getting that opening view of a concept, the beginning views of the concept, the introduction to the views of a concept, and then actually really working hard on that in the classroom with you. So in my classroom, we had groups of four, students worked in groups of four or five at the most, three at the least, and they helped each other out, and they could talk with each other, and inside those groups, they were working on things, and then as they approached or ran into information that was super difficult then or confusing to them, then they could come and ask me. And so when I flipped my classroom in the first 2 months of this, I answered more questions the first 2 months of my flipped class than I had in the previous several years. It just provided a completely different dynamic, and I wanted to answer those questions. I wanted to be active with those kids, and it allowed me to meet every learner exactly where they were. And it was a really good experience for me. It's a lot of work because you have to create the content or find the content, and that can be challenging. And what I decided was my kids knew who I was. I had a relationship with them. So I created all of my own content, and I felt like it allowed me to, since I had that relationship with them, the kids were more engaged in what I was sharing with them because they knew me. It wasn't some person they'd never heard of or seen before or whatever that they had no idea. And so I did a lot of my own stuff. That's what worked for me, and it can work for you. And so... I just think that the flipped classroom sometimes would just shut things down right away because, you know, hey, this one person can't do it. You know, we can figure out a way to meet the needs of that one person or these four people or whatever. And even if your kids even if you have a situation where your students, say, have very, very limited technology outside of school, maybe you can figure out a way to use your computer lab inside of school. Because one of the greatest things, in my opinion, about the flip class is that when you flip your classroom, the actual amount of time that it takes to go through a lesson decreases by 2/3 and maybe 3/4. There's no more distraction. There's no more interruption. If you need to pause and eat dinner, you can pause and eat dinner, but that's what you want to do. Or if you want to eat dinner while you watch and get content, you can do that too. And so it just really, really streamlines down the whole teaching process. And it got to the point where I told my kids, I just need 18 minutes of your day outside of the classroom. And again, this was with high school students in calculus and pre-calculus. I need 18 minutes of your day outside the classroom. It's either doing homework or it's getting content, and you get to pick it. And so if they chose to get content in class, I was fine with that, because we had 55-minute classes. Kids came in and got their content. They still had 30 minutes to work with me and with their peers. So think about flipped classroom. I truly think it can work in almost every situation. If you're having trouble coming up with ideas about how maybe it could work or some different issues that you're facing, reach out to me through Twitter at TeachFromHere. I would love to be able to help you get some ideas on how to incorporate it. But as teachers, we teach, and I just feel like this is a way to create a huge footprint to help people you just never imagined, because kids deserve to learn. So there you go. Thanks for listening to The Drive today. I hope you have enjoyed it. If you enjoy The Drive, please share it with your friends and let them know about it. I love to hear feedback on the drive. Please continue to let me know what you think. And remember that no matter what you do, you make a difference in the lives of your students. So be brilliant.